All the tax bill needs now to become law is President Trump's signature. So what's the delay? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Here's why President Trump will likely wait until the new year to sign the tax bill into law. This would delay automatic spending cuts to the federal budget until 2019, which otherwise would trigger right away. Signing now would mean $120 billion in cuts to big programs such as Medicare would land in 2018, a midterm election year. If President Trump waits to sign in January, the tax changes would still go into effect in January. Now back to what the tax bill does. Today's angle, the retail industry, businesses that had been paying comparatively higher taxes. Marketplace's Renata Sago reports.
Right now, roughly a third of traditional retailers' taxable income goes to the federal government. That's a big chunk of profit for the Nordstroms and Macy's of the country that are juggling shaky brick-and-mortar sales while trying to compete online. A permanent slash to a 21% tax rate? Well, that would open up capital for retailers to innovate in stores and online.
And to remain competitive, that includes investing in new systems and processes, and most importantly, investing in their people.
Steve Barr is a consumer markets leader with PricewaterhouseCoopers. He adds tax savings could mean higher wages and better benefits for retail workers. The CEO of the National Retail Federation, Matthew Shea, believes the tax plan will put more money in most people's pockets to spend.
That money will be put back to work in terms of consumption at retail companies.
Just how retailers spend their tax breaks or any increased profits is, of course, entirely up to them. I'm Renata Sago for Marketplace.
The U.S. today hit Canadian jets made in Britain with a 292% punitive tax, a tariff, the U.S. says, because the aircraft maker Bombardier sold jets into the U.S. at below cost. The original penalty was 299%. After diplomacy, the tariff was reduced only slightly. Philip Hampshire is with our partner broadcaster, the BBC in London. I asked him this morning if these Northern Ireland-made planes were really being dumped, sold below their cost of production. Morning, Philip.
Good morning, David.
I mean, the accusation here is dumping. Is there dumping?
The investigation by the US did determine that the planes cost $33 million each to make, and they were being sold to Delta Airlines somewhere in the region of around $19 million each. So it does look like the charge that they were being sold at below cost levels might in fact stick. Whether or not that's a bad business decision or indeed dumping is another matter, because if they're buying enough planes, maybe they make the money up on selling them on bulk. Or alternatively, maybe they make the money up by selling them parts and servicing and all the other different facilities that go into looking after an airframe that might have a life cycle of 10 or 15 years.
And there's a danger here this expands into a larger trade dispute?
These planes are actually made in Northern Ireland, and so this could cause a huge row with the United Kingdom at a time when the UK's relationship with the US is already strained because of President Trump's rather unusual diplomatic style, should we put it as euphemistically as that, and it's created a lot of friction between the two at a time when the UK really doesn't need that because it's severing its relationships with previous partners in the European Union, and it was looking to the United States as a very important marketplace and was hoping to get some kind of a deal there. So any row on this front is going to cause them problems.
The U.S. tariff is not a fully done deal. The U.S. International Trade Commission makes a final ruling in February. Checking markets, the FTSE index in London is up 0.4%. Dow, S&P and NASDAQ futures are up 0.1% in the case of the S&P future. When it comes to news about the economy, Marketplace has got you covered. And when you donate $10 a month or more to support the work that we do, you can get a Marketplace umbrella to help protect you from stormy weather. The real thanks you'll get for your gift is when you listen every day, knowing that you're making it possible for Marketplace to make people smarter about the economy and why it matters. We believe it's important work, which we're already doing, and with your help, we'll be able to do more of it and reach more people as well. Become a Marketplace investor today at marketplace.org. And thank you. terrible Hurricane Irma slammed into southwest Florida in late summer, early September it was. As we enter winter today, the Federal Emergency Management Agency has put in more than $1 billion to help residents with shelter, clothing, and rebuilding. But waits for aid remain long, and there's a shortage of labor to get repair work done. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Hurricane Irma cut a path of destruction across Florida, from flooding in Jacksonville on the East Coast to devastated orange groves in the middle of the state. At Marco Island on the Gulf Coast, where the storm came ashore, wind and rain thrashed beachfront hotels and upscale housing developments.
We do have a sky of blue tarps because a lot of our roofs were damaged.
Diana Dome at the local Chamber of Commerce says many homeowners have insurance coverage, but local unemployment is low, 3.8%.
Our contractors, they don't have enough construction workers, so everyone needs to be patient.
But some aren't waiting.
My name is Steve Gober, and my business here is Stan's Idlauer Restaurant, and we've been here for 48 years.
Gober's place is right on the water, fresh seafood, live music. He closed for 8 weeks after Irma and says he put $100,000 of his own money into repairs.
You got to get open, and that's what we've done here, just opening on the weekends. We've had a lot of help from friends, plus a lot of staff.
Gober says he didn't have insurance and didn't apply to FEMA or the Small Business Administration. But one in three Florida households, more than 2.5 million, have applied for FEMA assistance. At disaster recovery centers like this one in a gym in Naples, the agency had to add staff, says spokesman Michael Wade.
There's a lot of Haitian Creole population and people that speak Spanish, so we're looking for interpreters.
So far, FEMA's approved just over a quarter of aid applications, and lots of Floridians are still struggling with the complicated regulations, which makes sitting behind a folding table with a FEMA badge on not so easy, says Edith Lovell, who does applicant intake.
I always listen to someone when they're angry, and I always tell them they have every right to be angry. And then I say, okay, now let's see what we can do to fix that.
The maximum FEMA disaster grant for a household is $33,300. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And Apple is confirming that when people downloaded the update to their latest mobile operating system, it quietly put in software that slows down some older phones in certain situations. Some independent computer geniuses had noticed and documented this. Apple now says this is meant to keep phones from dying when the batteries get older. The 6, 6S, 7, and the iPhone SE are affected. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.